വക്രതുണ്ടമഹാകായ സൂര്യകോടി സമപ്രഭ നിർവിഘ്നം കുരു മേ ദേവം സർവകാര്യേഷു സർവദാ. ഓം ശ്രീ മഹാഗണപതയേ നമഃ. സരസ്വതീ നമസ്തുഭ്യം വരദേ കാമരൂപിണീ വിദ്യാരംഭം കരിഷ്യാമി സിദ്ധിർഭവതു മേ സദാ. ഓം ശ്രീ മഹാസരസ്വത്യൈ നമഃ. സമസ്തജനകല്യാണേ നിരതം കരുണാമയം നമാമി ചിന്മയം ദേവം സദ്ഗുരും ബ്രഹ്മവിദ്വരം. ഓം ശ്രീ ചിന്മയ സദ്ഗുരവേ നമഃ. കർപ്പൂരഗൗരം കരുണാവതാരം സംസാരസാരം ഭുജകേന്ദ്രഹാരം സദാ വസന്തം ഹൃദയാരവിന്ദേ ഭവം ഭവാനി സഹിതം നമാമി ഭവം ഭവാനി സഹിതം നമാമി. ഹരി ഓം നമസ്കാര. I think every one of you knows me. Who was not there the last time I came here? Oh. Where are the ones who were there last time when I came here? I don't see them, most of them. Okay. Good. Today, the text that we are taking for just two brief days, I think the volume has to be reduced a little bit. The text that we are taking for these two brief days is Shiva Sankalpa Suktam. It's titled as Divinizing the Mind. For those of you who don't have this book, please bring this book. It's there at the back, you can pick it up. There are certain concepts which I will speak on more than just talking about the text with reference to the text. It's a beautiful text. It's available or it's found in the Yajurveda. The volume is still high. Can you put it down? It's part of the Yajurveda. So it's a Vedic text. Like you have the Upanishads. The Upanishads are also found in the Vedas. Similarly, this is also found in the Vedas. There are six verses, beautiful verses. And for the first time, Pujya Guruji took this as a text in the Dharma Seva course, and then we could bring it out as a text. This is a text which has been a favorite of mine for years together. I had been chanting. I knew it by heart long before Guruji took it as a text also. Especially there's one phrase of that text which has been my all-time favorite. If at all anyone comes to me to sign a book, for the past 20, 25, 30 years, I have written the same phrase each time. So I must have repeated it in books thousands of times and chanted it every day for God alone knows how many years. It's a beautiful phrase, and I want you all, if nothing else goes in the head, it's okay. Just this phrase isn't enough. It's a refrain that comes again and again at the end of each of the shlokas. And that refrain is, tanme manah shiva sankalpamastu. What is the refrain? Tan me manaha shiva sankalpam astu. Repeat it after me so that you'll get it right. Tan me manaha shiva sankalpam astu. Tan me manaha shiva sankalpam astu. Me manaha, in my mind. Shiva sankalpam, auspicious thoughts, astu, may there be. This is the meaning of it. Me manaha. It's also an address to the mind. O mind, may there be auspicious thoughts in you. It's also a prayer. Now this is a beautiful thing. So first let me explain to you what is a sankalpa. And then we will go to Shiva Sankalpa. Then we will go to what is the mind and why this should be there in the mind. That's a beautiful thing. I don't think I'll be able to cover the whole text. I don't want to hurry also. I hope you all also don't want me to hurry and three shlokas today, three shlokas tomorrow. But the concepts can be understood. Okay, can I invite all those who can to come and sit down? Those who can sit down. And everyone below 40 years is banned from sitting on chairs. Come on, come on. If you want to pretend you are less than 40 years, you can also come. Please come. I see some young boy here below 40 years. Come on, come on, come on. Until unless you have a problem with your legs, then you can sit. Good. Please come. Very good. Great. Now, you know, in our mind, there are thoughts. Normally, the thoughts are categorized, the whole mind is called antakarana. Vedanta teaches you that. What is it called? Antaha means inner, karana, instrument, the inner instrument. What are the bahirkarana, outside instruments? Our eyes, ears, etc. are called what? The other karanas. But this is called antakarana. Okay. Now, this antakarana is made up of four. These are only thoughts. Mind is only thoughts. These thoughts are categorized into four according to their functions. Okay? Now, what are these functions of these thoughts? So, when the thought has an emotional content in it, love, compassion, kindness, anger, jealousy, and all these type of, whenever there's an emotional content in those thoughts are categorized as what? Manaha. Normally. Sometimes for all four, the word manaha is used. Sometimes manaha is specifically as emotional thoughts are called manaha. Also, when the mind is receiving, for example, I'm seeing something, so this conveying of the thoughts, you know, to the brain, that part of receiving and sending it to the brain, that part is called manaha, okay? Then the second aspect is called buddhi, buddhi intellect. Intellectual thoughts are called buddhi. For example, observation, understanding, decision, analysis, judgment, etc. Such thoughts are called what? Buddhi. When the thought has gone, whatever the perception has gone, and then you understand it, that understanding that happens, that type of a thought is called what? Buddhi. Right now, I hope you're understanding what I'm speaking. Yes? So that is called your buddhi. What is understanding? As I'm speaking, you're understanding, right? That understanding part is called what? Buddhi. Then. The third is called chitta, our memory. Now, the fact that I'm speaking, now these are only sounds, right? Unless you have a memory to back what you hear, you will never understand what I speak. Agreed? The word. You have a memory of it, saying a word means word. You understand? If you didn't have this memory, it would only be a sound. And therefore, when you listen to some other strange language, what is it to you? Nothing but sounds. Why? Because you have no memory of those words or their understanding. So you don't know what it is. Okay. So there's no understanding cannot happen without memory. Do you agree? Appreciate that part? What is Gagapugang? Anything happened in your mind? Why it didn't happen? Because you have no memory of this sort of a word, and then it's a nonsense word, don't worry about it. You understand? Nothing is there. There's no memory of this word, so therefore you will not understand. So understanding depends on what? The mind also, and everything depends on what? The memory part of it. That is called chittam. Got this? Mana, buddhi, chitta. Right now, all these three are at play as you are listening to me. Where? Right here, inside each one of you. You understand this? No. Who is listening to me? Simple questions, you should answer simple. Don't think something, you know, what to answer. Are you simple? Who is listening? I am listening. Are you sitting? Yes. Where are you sitting? I am sitting in the hall. Isn't it true? I am listening. Are you looking at me? Yes. Who is looking at me? I am looking at you. Isn't it true? So all of you are saying, I am looking, I am listening, I am sitting, I am understanding. You, all of you are saying that? You feel that? Right. So this I thought is called ahankara. In Vedanta, ahankara does not mean pride. Okay? It means I notion. I am listening. Now, ahankara is there in every one of us sitting over here. Got it? Some of us may have pride, but ahankara is there in everyone. Got it? I am listening. I am not understanding anything. I am understanding everything. This sort of behind every thought. Now, it is interesting. I'm using these fingers for a very specific reason in this particular way. Let's say that this is the four parts of this antakarana. Mana, buddhi, chitta. And this one I'm giving as ahankara. You know, see, until and unless this ahankara combines with any of the other thoughts, then only is there any possibility of the thoughts being known or recognized. If this, it's only this, this is a mic, is there, but I know this is a mic, until unless that happens, there is no question of any recognition of this. Have you understood this point? I know this is the mind. I understand, I remember. Is it true or not? This I is there with all three. I feel, I think, I remember. Okay? If this I was not there, feeling, thinking, remembering would not happen at all. So this I thought is called what? What is it called? Ahankara. Okay? This is normal understanding. No. What is the sankalpa? A particular type of thought is called sankalpa. You know, like anger, a particular type of thought is called anger. That you understand very well. Everyone knows this. Everyone's familiar with this one? Anger? Oh yes, Swami, very familiar. All the time. Anger. So what is this sankalpa? Desire, everyone is familiar with? Yes? Now, let me explain to you what is this sankalpa. It's a very, very interesting thought. We have it all the time. We don't recognize them. And Vedanta and the Bhagavad Gita is full of talks of sankalpa. Sankalpa prabhavan kaman tyaktva sarvana sheshataha. Remove all the sankalpas from the mind. So many things about sankalpa is this. Nahya sanyasta sankalpa yogo bhavati kaschana. One can never become a yogi if you cannot, you do not give up sankalpas. You know, in the Gita, just take up the Gita as an exercise and find out how many times the word sankalpa is used. Lots of times. So what is the sankalpa? You know, it comes in a very, very soft, very simple manner into our mind. It comes as a soft little suggestion sometimes. How does it come? Let us eat ice cream. Very innocent, isn't it? What a... Then you're all the time they say, sankalpa you take out, and then you wonder why. You know, even the ladder of fall, how do you explain that? Dhyayato vishayan punsaha sangaste shupajay sangat sanjayate kamaha kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati sammohat smriti vibhrama. Then that there also dhyayata vishayan punsaha sangaha. That sangha comes. What is the meaning? We'll see here also. So first it comes as what? As a, the thought comes as what? Suggestion. Let us eat ice cream. Very innocent. Is it a bad thought? Is it harmful? Should we get scared of it? Should we need to, do we need to take it out? Let us. Why not eat an ice cream? Very innocent. It would be so good if we eat an ice cream. Right now it is so hot. It is good for you to eat the ice cream. Nothing wrong with any of these thoughts? Nice, sweet, little innocent thoughts. Then what happens? With this thought, you hold this thought and you start playing with it. What do you do? You start entertaining it, you start playing with it, and you start building on it. See, a thought by itself can't do anything to you. For how long does a thought stay in your mind? A fraction of a second. Is it true or not? A fraction is too big a time. It's less than a fraction. It comes and before you know, it's already... You always know the previous thought. You never know that thought because that thought, by the time it's known, it's gone. Yes or no? You think of this thought, the powerful thing. The thought is the most amazing thing in the whole world. And the mind is the most amazing thing in the whole world. Unfortunately, we rarely pay attention to this mind. Do you know? Every possible experience of your life, you have had it in your mind. From birth to death, from morning to night, every experience of yours has been in the mind. You have lived your entire life in your mind. This is a powerful statement. I hope it sinks in. What? You have lived your what? Entire life. No exception. Not one experience has been outside the mind. Whose mind? Can you imagine what a great instrument? All your joys have been where? Sorrows, joys, success, failures. Where did you live them? Now imagine such a powerful, such an important thing is rarely even looked at, thought of, appreciated, understood. Yes or no? Yes. And it contains what? Thoughts. So what should you do? Try to understand this mind. Because that's where you're living your life, your entire personality, everything you call body, your personality, you call, whatever you call is all nothing but what? The mind. Even the experience of your body is where? In your mind. You understand that? Where is your body? Swamiji, it is here, outside. Where do you experience it? In the deep sleep state, do you have a body? You don't have a body. You have a body, but do you experience it? No, why? No mind, no body, full stop. You get this point? Can you nod your heads if you have understood? Just imagine every experience of yours, including your body, your everything, your achievements, your success, your sorrows, your anything, your relations, your everything. Where do you experience it? So now, what happens? The sankalpa comes. It's a suggestion. Then what happens? You start entertaining it, you start thinking on it, you start brooding over it, you give it more and more. What? Strength and energy and momentum. And you build thoughts around it. Like what? How wonderful. Ice cream is so good. And that too. What ice cream? I don't remember any name of ice creams. Yeah, but the companies of ice cream? Baskin Robbins. You're also Baskin Robbins people like. It's not my favorite one. So anyway, Baskin Robbins. We like our typical Indian ones. Naturals. Have you all had naturals in India? Next time you go to India. Now what have I done? Created a sankalpa in you. You understand this exactly what I'm saying. Next time in India, naturals. And that too, don't miss the fresh ones over there. Coconut and the ahaha. Now what happens is in the mind, what happens? A sankalpa comes. Next time. And then it builds up. I must have it. It'd be so nice if I can get it. Wonderful. It is so good, you know. Once I've had it, and then I know it'd be so nice. This is the thing. I must have it. And then slowly it becomes, I want an ice cream. So those thoughts put together will become what? Kamaha. It becomes what? Desire. I want. Okay. It starts with what? Sankalpa. Then it takes the form of what? Kamaha. And once kama comes, then what happens? The kama itself becomes what? Stronger and stronger. See, at the source of a river, if the river is what? Then what happens? The different tributaries start building up. And then what happens? I was told Mississippi, you know, the river. When it starts, it's really small. I saw it. But by the time it reaches Mexico, isn't it true? How many rivers keep pouring their water? So more and more and more, this river starts. Then the mind starts. I want it. It must have it. It'd be so good to have it. I must have it. Must have it. And then this want becomes, desire becomes more and more powerful. Sometimes it can become what? Addiction, or it can become a compulsion. Isn't it true? Compulsion. I have to have it. I cannot live without it. Now, the stronger and stronger the desire, what happens? When it is obstructed, the greater and greater is the anger that you will feel towards what is obstructing your desire. Is it true or not? So desire itself creates what? Anger. Anger is the younger brother of desire. What? Comes after that. Any desire, whenever there is an obstruction, the fulfillment of desire, what you feel towards the obstruction is called anger. Got it? If this is very strong, then you will get very strong anger. You get the point? If the desire is weak and then something obstructs it, okay, you get irritated or angry a little bit, it's not that much, but I want it. And then someone stops it. Oh, you got it? Supposing the desire gets fulfilled, then what happens? Problem solved? No. The next thing that comes is called greed. I want more of it. You got my point? So greed is the second brother of, younger brother of desire. want more. I want more. I want more, more. And does it any time says, yes, enough is enough, does it ever say that? No. How much more? Any limit? See, sometimes we say, I want more of the same. Sometimes we say, more of something else. Isn't it true? Okay, you got this. Now, finish. No, I want this also. Then this is over. No, then I want this. Then I want this. Sometimes more of the same, or sometimes just more. More and more and more and more and more. That's what happens when you go shopping. You really didn't want any of those things. Then you just went, you know, to get one thing. And then when you went, what happened? Oh, that also is very good. Okay. Then, how many things we buy which we don't need? Isn't it? All of you have experienced that? All the ladies have got that thing, you know. It's, oh God, when I go shopping, bas. The interesting thing is, sometimes you never buy the thing that you actually wanted, and you buy everything else. And you say, "Arey, wo to chhuti gaya re." That's the main thing that I went to buy, that I haven't bought at all. The other things only I bought. So this is called what? Anger. Then greed. All this is there. And it starts, all this starts from where? Sankalpa. You understand now how the sankalpa plays a very important role. Sankalpa. There's a lovely story. There was a rishi, a sage, by the name of Monkey. Now you understand monkey as monkey, but it is not that monkey, okay? This word was there much before English language itself came in. So therefore, his name was Monkey Rishi. So he used to meditate and all that. And then every day he would go for asking for bhiksha. So one day when he went for bhiksha, he said, what is this? Every day I have to go far away, and you know, this all my time for, you know, meditation and all that is going away just to go and ask for food. So if I have a small plot of land, I will cultivate it enough so that I can I can get whatever food, and I will live on that. So I don't have to go here and there to ask for food. That will solve my problem. So he had this land, this, and then he used to have, naturally to cultivate, then you need a cow, a buffalo, so he had two, this and all. And then he was one day tilling his land, and a wild camel came over there. Okay. Now, camels are big, huge creatures. So when the wild camel came running, Monkey Rishi went away, but those two, buffaloes were yoked to each other. So they got panicky, but they couldn't move together. This camel came and it took these two buffaloes, meaning it must be so huge and so strong that imagine the scene, the camel is running and the two buffaloes are on two sides of the camel with the yoke in the middle, hanging from the back of the camel. And the camel is running and Monkey Rishi is running after them to get his buffaloes back. Hey, my. Then all of a sudden, he was a rishi, na? So he started, for a second he stopped and all, and started thinking, what am I doing? I am a sage. Meditation is my goal. To get realization is my goal. Meditation, and now I am running after camels and buffaloes? What is this? Where did it all start? How did it all happen? The desire for this food and all that, you know, that desire caught me. Then he said, no, desire, what is the root? From where did this desire come? He started thinking about it. It's a very famous shloka. He says, Kama janami te moolam. Oh, desire, now I have found your root. Desire caused the problem. He says, no. Kama janami te moolam. I know your root. Oh, desire, I have found your root. Sankalpat kila jayate. You arise out of sankalpa. Tasmat na sankalpa mishyami. Therefore, I shall not do sankalpa. Tena kena bhavishyasi. Then how will you come about? How will you arise? If I don't do sankalpa, there is no question of kama. If there is no kama, there is no krodha, there is no lobha. I have eliminated this whole big thing. And you know, in the Gita also it is said what? Kama, krodha and lobha are what? Trividham narakasya idam dwaram nashanam atmanaha. This is the threefold gateways to hell. Which are they? Kama, krodha, lobha. See, we think krodha and lobha are terrible. But we never think kama itself is terrible, leave alone sankalpa. You get the point. Desire, we feel very good. And we encourage lots of desires. In fact, the more desires we have, we feel happy about it. It's only when they are not fulfilled that we get frustrated and all the problems start. Is it true or not? We only think which are problems. Krodha is a problem. And we don't even think lobha is a problem, actually speaking. Most of us don't even think either of these are problems, basically. When it gets out of control, it becomes hatred, it becomes so many other things, then we feel a. But actually, if you see, the minute there's a desire in your mind, agitation start. Is it a fact or not? You have one desire also. I want. Okay, let me explain it a little differently. How do desires come about? Are you interested in what I'm speaking?
Yes.
You feel it's okay?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Now, this is very interesting. Huh? When do you feel hungry? Simple question. Don't start thinking, oh no, I must give a Vedantic answer. Are Rama, simple question, Ray. When do you feel hungry? When your stomach is empty, is it true or not? When your stomach is empty, what do you feel? You feel hungry, right? So, without a feeling of emptiness, there cannot be any desire. Will you remember this? Very important statement. What? Whenever there is a desire, there is always a feeling of emptiness then. So what is, okay, what is behind all actions? Behind all actions are desires. Remember that. No action happens without a desire. Even the smallest of small action happens because of a desire. Okay? This much. Why? Desire to be comfortable. Are you understanding that? Small action. You think what? It's a, this, why? Desire, something is making you feel some ticklish feeling or something. Now imagine such a small action also, there's a what behind it? There's a desire. Desire to feel comfortable. Desire. Some small action also. Got my point? So behind every action is what? Behind every desire is what? A feeling of emptiness. Now, what is there behind a feeling of emptiness? Emptiness is incompleteness. Now, see, supposing you're very, very busy, okay? You don't feel hungry. Then all of a sudden, you finish that task, then what happens all of a sudden? Oh, I'm so hungry. So, you started feeling hungry, you became empty all of a sudden like that? Yeah, the stomach became empty in 1 second or something like that? No. Then, the stomach was empty, but you did not feel hungry. When did you feel hungry? So, the behind the desire is a feeling of emptiness. But behind a feeling of emptiness is identification with that which is empty. What? Once more. Identification with that which is empty. Till you have identified with that which is empty, you will not feel what? When you identified with that stomach which was empty, then you say, ah, I am. Now I feel hungry. It was empty before, but you hadn't identified with it, and therefore you were not feeling empty. Got it? So behind action is what?
Desire.
Behind desire is what? Feeling of emptiness. Behind feeling of emptiness is what? Identification with the incomplete. Okay? Or the empty. Incomplete. Now, when do you identify with the incomplete? Swamiji, I don't know. No. Very interesting. Some story I'll tell you and then you'll get the point like that. There were two friends. One very rich guy, one very poor. But they were good friends. And every day they used to walk on the beach and they would have an ice cream. Every day. This was their routine. So, naturally, the rich guy paid for it because the poor guy didn't have the money. But then he was so rich, he didn't have any problem. Every day, this used to be their daily routine. So they walked to the, in the beach and went. And that day, when he put his hand in the pocket, he found that his purse was not there, the rich guy. The poor man put his hand in the pocket. He knew there was going to be nothing anyway, but it was empty. So this guy's pocket is empty. This guy's pocket is also empty. Now both their pockets are empty, yet the rich guy says, I'm rich. The poor guy says, I'm poor. Why? Question is not difficult. See, both their pockets are empty. The rich guy's pocket is empty. The poor guy's pocket is empty. And yet one fellow says, I am rich. The other says, I am poor. Why? Why? Because? Because the rich guy doesn't identify with the empty pocket. He identifies with that full bank account. You understand that? Got the point? Badhiya hai ki nahi? Dekho, is understanding if you understand. Oh, the rich guy identifies with the full bank account and not with the empty pocket. Whereas the poor guy knows whatever he has got is only in the pocket. There is nothing else. There is no some nothing called bank account. He's got nothing. So if he's got something, it will only be in the pocket. And if the pocket is empty, he is empty. You got this point? If the pocket is $5, that's all that he has got. If it is 50, that's all he has got. This fellow, it doesn't matter what the pocket has got, this bank account is full. It's got millions of dollars. Have you understood this point? Now, if you have understood that, now, behind an action is what? Behind the desire is what? Feeling of incompleteness or emptiness. Then behind the feeling of incompleteness is what? Identification with the incomplete. Behind the identification of the incomplete is ignorance of our complete nature. Supposing this is a typical Hindi movie story. Then these two friends, every day they have been going like that, and one day, the typical Hindi movie ending, the fellow says, okay, let's go swimming for a change in the ocean. So he takes out his shirt. The poor guy and the rich guy. And what does this poor guy, you know, rich guy see? That on the chest of the poor guy is a particular birthmark. This is a Hindi movie. And then he realized, oh, that fellow whom he considered as his orphan friend, poor friend, is not a poor friend, but he is his own brother. I told you, Hindi movie. Why? Because a birthmark is there, and then, oh, mera bhai, and oh, my brother, and all that. Now, all of a sudden, that poor guy, what does he start saying? He is no more Poor, he realizes that his father has left millions, not just for that brother, he's left millions even for me, because I'm also the brother. Aha, all of a sudden what happens? I am rich. All these years I was thinking I was poor because I was only identifying with that pocket money. But now I know I have a rich, rich, rich father who's left all his wealth for me. Are you understanding? Similarly, when I only think of myself as a small, little, finite body, mind, intellect, then whatever is here is all I think is this is me. But when I know that I am the infinite self, what happens all of a sudden? Yeah. Then after I've got infinite this, will I have any small, little, petty desires? Do you understand? Will those desires trouble me? If the sankalpa comes also, if it doesn't get fulfilled, so what? Are you getting the point now? Till that time, what I have is all that is there. So I have to make, that's all. What is there in that pocket, that's it. What's there, the body, the mind, that is all I have. So naturally, this is the only thing that's going to be important. I identify with the incomplete, I become incomplete. So I want to make it complete. So I have more things to desire than I. If I have a cupcake, I'll have something here, cupcakes over here. Oh, then that will make me happy. If I have a muffin, then that. I'm picking up the language of the place now. So if I have a donut, then that will make me happy. If I have a whatever, bagel, then that will. So if I keep on thinking that this, then it will make me happy. So I'm filling my little pocket with that little, because I'm incomplete and therefore I want to make what? Fill. So that's why I get these desires. So these, and then these desires come as what? Little suggestions. Let us, why not, come on, how come, this is not there. You understand how it comes. So these little things start making you make it. Then you say, I am incomplete, let me take it and let me want it, let me have it. Then that will make me happy. So that way we build up the whole thing. And then krodha, and then lobha, and then the moha, and all the attachment, and then the craving, and then the longing, and then the disappointment, and the expectations, and the you know what. Happens. Got it? And how did you start? Okay. So here, what do we say? O Bhagwan, me manaha shiva sankalpamastu. O Bhagwan, give me what type of sankalpas? Auspicious sankalpas. May my mind entertain what? Auspicious. Once I have auspicious sankalpas, I'll have auspicious desires, and then the whole trend will change. May I have desires to improve myself, may I have desires for infinite goals, may I have desires for great things. You understand? Instead of having small, little petty desires, which make me empty, more and more, instead of filling me up. You know, typical example, what happens? It is summertime, it's hot, you sweat, you have so much, and you go out, and you know, the sun over here is pretty strong. I realized that today when I went for a walk. It's quite strong. You know, like in India, it's exactly as, like you feel you're in Ahmedabad. You know? It's not, it's so, that's strong sun. And you're out in the, what? This. And what happens? You feel, oh, if I take something cool. So we have iced water. And you know something? Ice water never satisfies your thirst. Have you noticed that? Never. But we think what? It's so hot, let's have what? Ice. And what happens? You take the ice water still. Your mouth is dry only. Whereas if you drink warm water, what will happen? Immediately. What will happen? So, many times in our life also, we desire things which make us more and more thirsty. You understand? Instead of filling us up, it makes us more You're craving for a little more extra, this, that. That is what happens. So when we must have these desires, but what type of desires which reduce our desires instead of what? Increasing our desires. See, desire for satsang. Even if you say more satsang, what will happen? That desire for satsang will reduce all other desires. Have you got the point? It has the power to what? Reduce all other desires. Whereas if you have desire for whatever, some food or something, like, then what will happen? It will only keep increasing. And very beautiful example is given of it's like a fuel. A fire, the more fuel you put, what happens? This is not a very nice example for desires. It's like our tissue paper box. What happens? That pop-in boxes, no? What happens? Whoosh. The other is immediately there. And then you take out the other. Whoosh. And you take out one, two, three, then again more. There's no end to it. Is it true or not? You think, nahi, achha, chalo, one. And then when you take it and then you feel, ke, haan, abhi, for this second, everything is what? Fine. But before you finish enjoying that, the second one is already waiting. Sometimes five of them are together. And sometimes, most interesting, if five of them which are contradictory to each other. I'll give you an example. You want to sleep also and you want to watch the movie also. Is it true or not? Now what to do? So I... Can you imagine? This contradictory ones are there sometimes together. I want to become slim also and I want to eat ice cream also. Now what to do? Are you getting the point? So all contradictory, so many, and that too, all the five senses want everything together. I want to see, I want to hear, I want to this, everything. So, therefore here it says, Bhagavan, Shiva Sankalpamastu, may I have auspicious desires, auspicious sankalpas, auspicious thoughts in my mind, so that what? I can progress in life, I can get rid of the rest of them, I don't become a slave of my own mind. Shiva Sankalpamastu, okay? Now, one nice, interesting concept I'll give to you, very interesting concept. See, as far as the mind is concerned, Vedanta talks about two categories, okay? You can't even call it categories. Once I explain, you'll understand what I mean. One is called the Samashti Mana, and the other is called Vyashti Mana. The individual mind and the total mind. This is a concept, very interesting concept. Now, let's first take an example of a dream. You go to sleep happily and then you dream. Swamiji, I don't need to go to sleep. Normally, otherwise even sitting, I dream. Okay, wonderful. Daydream, that's called a daydream. But anyway, we'll talk about a sleep dream. So you go to sleep and then you have a dream. Now what is there in your dream? So you are in an examination hall. Lots of people get dreams about exams. Because all throughout your life, your childhood, your teachers have psyched you. And the whole world has psyched you so much about those, what? Exams, that I know of people at the age of 60 and 70 get up like that. Ha! Like a... So you imagine you getting what? A dream of being in the examination hall. Okay. Now there are 25 students in the classroom and all of them are giving their test. Now all of them will naturally have their own little bit of knowledge that they have. You are also one of them. So, let us say this is a very different type of test where everyone is given a different paper. One is given history, one is given geography, one is whatever, different papers. So each one is doing their test. Now each one is writing, different questions are there, different answers are given, different knowledges are there. Is it true or not? Right. And you don't know anything. You had prepared for physics and you got math. You can imagine the state of that poor person. When the paper says, you were told that you were prepared for maths, but you forgot about it and you came prepared for what?
Physics.
Now what to do? Now you can imagine your state of mind now. Right. Now, you wake up from your dream. Now when you wake up from your dream, what will happen? That whole thing. See, each one had a mind of their own in the examination hall. Is it true or not? 25 minds were there or not? Yes, 25. And there was a teacher also over there. So her mind was also there, let us say. Yeah. So let's say now there were 26 minds over there. Let's assume there's 26 minds. Now, you wake up. Now, where were all these minds? In whose minds? Now think, there were 25 minds at work, right? Now, where were all these 25, 26 minds? In whose mind? In the dreamer's mind. Now, the dreamer's mind itself became one special mind of your own mind. And the everyone else's mind and all the knowledge of all of them also who became? All that? The dreamer itself. Now, the dreamer's mind is called the total mind. And each individual mind of each of them is called the individual mind. Have you understood that? Not only did the dreamer's mind became the individual mind, it also became the what? The chairs and the table and the paper and the pen and everything else. Is it true or not? Now you understand what is this? Similarly, right now, imagine this whole thing. This world of countless beings and universes. And how many beings are there in this world? Bolo, 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 bolo. How many? On this earth only, how many beings are there? How many human beings are there? 7 billion. 7 billion minds are at work? Yes or no? Some criminal, some divine, some not working, some messed up, some confused, some depressed, some oppressed, some suppressed, whatever, all types. Is it true or not?
Yes.
Now think, all those minds, millions and trillions of minds. And this is only human minds we are talking about. What about the others? Even monkeys have minds, monkey mind. And donkeys have minds and all the other. Now imagine every, and their thoughts are of different types. You know, different type of thoughts they have and all. Now imagine all of that. And that is what we are saying. The whole world universe is that total mind. See, if there's a part, there must be a whole. Yes or no?
Yes.
The very fact that there is a part is a whole. We are a part of this universe. So if there's a part, my mind is one mind, a part mind, then there must be a total mind as well. That total mind is called Ishvara. Who is he called? You can call it the total mind, or you call it God's mind, or you call it God itself, whatever you want. Okay? Now think. Swamiji, this total mind concept, can you explain a little more? I'll explain it. Don't worry. A classic example of how the total mind functions is fashion. Because that, to make you understand, you know, how it works, this fashions are a classic way. You know, when I was in college, in school and college, how many of you born and brought up in India, please put up your hands? Good. So, if you all were also in that time, in India, I'm sure many of you were there when I was young also. At that time, there was a fashion of girls wearing lungis. Do you remember that? Are no one remembers? Ek do to yaad rakho. At least 2-3 hands are up. So, You're younger than me, that's why you don't remember. So we had a fashion in Mumbai and all these other places, you know, then all girls, even I wore lungis. And it'll be all colorful and all. Why? Hema Malini wore lungi. All the top actresses and the models and everyone wore what? Lungis. So what did we wear? We wore lungi and we thought it looked very smart and hip and wonderful. Right? All of us wore it. Now if someone wears a, one girl wears a lungi and comes and says, ah! You understand? At that time we thought it looked what? Beautiful. Now, who made you think it looks beautiful? Are you understanding? Samashti mind. Everyone thought it looked beautiful. That was the concept of beauty at that time. Got the point? If you were at that time there, you would have also thought it was beautiful. And many times people say, I am an independent thinker. What independent? None of us are independent thinkers. Are you understanding? We say, I am independent. What independent? I remember that first time I saw those, they put gel and they do something to their head, no? The boys, what do they do? Spikes. The first time I saw that, it was very interesting. I said, what did you do? I said, I want to feel it, you know. I actually went in this young boy. I said, I want to feel how it looks. All those spikes coming. And I asked him, how much time does it take? He told me 40 minutes to do this little thing. It took him 40 minutes. I said, for how long will it last? So he says, Swamiji, till the next shower. And then everything goes, what? And you have to again. And different angles, it has to come out. And he thought it looked what? You understand? Now, this is Samashtiman. Now, you see, all teenagers. We used to have such tough time in CRS, you know. All teenagers, they think, they wear their pants so loose that you think it's going to come out. Isn't it? And then we had to keep on telling, nay, you tighten the pants, you know, come on, wear it properly, it looks smart, this looks so shabby and all. But they thought it looked what? Cool. Try and convince a teenager that it looks shabby. Are you understanding what I'm speaking? This is called Samashtiman. You understand that Samashtiman, they think that that's the thing. Fashions are a classic example of it. I remember the first time someone wore a Bermuda. And I was there, and then the pink color, shocking pink. This boy wore a shocking pink color bomber. And I thought he had escaped from the Gemini Circus. When we were kids, we had a Gemini Circus in India. So I thought this kid is definitely come out from the... Now every second person is wearing... So you don't even give a second glance at this. This is a normal thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is called Samashtiman. What you and I think looks good is only a coloring of what everyone else has said to you. Now it's so interesting. Think objectively. Pizzas actually don't have any great taste. Think objectively. There is no great taste in pizzas. उसका वो देखो तो उसका तो मैदा है उसका थोड़ा ये है बट इट इज समष्टि मन पुट अ पिज्जा एंड पुट अ रोटी व्हाट विल अ चाइल्ड पिक अप बोलो बोलो इट्स दिस इज कॉल्ड समष्टि मन नथिंग टू डू विद द पिज्जा एंड द टेस्ट इट्स मीन व्हाट द समष्टि मन सेज दिस इज इट दिस लुक्स गुड दिस इज नाइस दिस इज गुड एंड दैट्स इट बस नथिंग टू डू द टेस्ट इज एक्चुअली नॉट सो ग्रेट. Are you understanding what I'm speaking? Yes. It's called Samashtiman. It has such a powerful impact on us. We think like that, we walk like that, we talk. You know, it's so interesting. You go outside any typical college. In India, I have done that. When you see, everyone will be carrying their bags in the same way. Everyone dresses in the same way. Black t-shirts means everyone will be wearing black t-shirts. Everyone. Have you noticed it? They carry their bags in the same way. They hold their phones in the same way. They're this in the same way. That the this. Everything we are doing, what? That's why I said this is a classic way of explaining, you know. And we think that we are independent in thinking. Can you do this exercise for yourself? All the things that we think, find out how much of it is influenced by others. Is it because everyone thinks like that, that I'm thinking like that? Have I thought out something separately and independently? Or am I just, you know, the way we bring up our children, everyone brings up their children the same way. Why? Because that's the way, that's the thing. Everyone talks the same way. Everyone does things the same way because of this influence called Samashtima. Are you understanding? Powerful. Now, here, we are not talking of Samashti Man as only this influence of this time. We are talking about the total mind. You know what is total mind now? Total mind is billions of minds. Now, okay, another example to understand the influences. The ocean is there, right? And then the little wave that is there over here. What independence does that little wave have in the direction of its flow, in the movement of it, anything? What is its independence? Please tell me. Now there are millions of waves, right? In the ocean. The ocean is not just the million waves which are there in the surface. The ocean is those million waves plus that big, huge depth of water that is there till the bottom. Is it true or not? Now think, all these thoughts that we have and these minds that we have are those individual waves. But God's mind is not just these, but it's a lot. Got that? And it's not just that surface that makes the water move, it's that whole body of water that's also helping the ocean to, I mean these thoughts to. Are you understanding that? Now, that total mind is called Ishwar. Now, supposing in your mind there is one desire, what are its chances of getting fulfilled? Supposing there is a thought in the total mind, what are its chances of getting fulfilled? 100,000%. Yes or no? You see the difference now. The thought in my mind may get fulfilled, but if that thought is the thought of the totality, it will surely get fulfilled. Got it? So what do we say? O Bhagwan, may manaha, may my mind have so space, not my, may your mind have a good thought for me. That is why what we do, we go and tell and pray to God. What do we pray to God? Many times the people used to go to Gurudev and pray to Gurudev and say, Swamiji, you bless me. If in your mind a thought comes, it will become true. Don't we say that? In his mind, if a thought comes, it will become true. In my mind, if a thought comes, it may not become true. But if you, so you bless me with, sometimes people used to go, Swamiji, I want a child, you bless me. Have you not heard of that? I remember one devotee, which is really very sweet. She told Gurudev, they were devotees of Gurudev for long years. Gurudev, please, I have been you are my guru for the past so many years. And me and my husband don't have a child. Please, why can't you bless us with a child? Meaning, like she was almost accusing him that how come you haven't done anything to help me with her? This, how can you not bless me like that? So Gurudev said, why one child? You will get three. And sure enough, three lovely children they have. Now imagine that's one sankalpa in the mind of a Mahatma. And are you understanding? Why? Because his mind is tuned with the total mind. Will you remember that? That is why it has the power. That is the power of that mind. Because his mind is tuned with the total mind. So in his mind, if there is one thought, 100% it's going to happen. Imagine Gurudev Sankalpa at that time, what he had, his vision and all. And that same Sankalpa and vision is now becoming this great movement called the Chinmay Mission. Is it true or not? With hundreds of centers everywhere and thousands of people influenced and millions of hearts being touched by this great Mahatma. That Sankalpa, what a strong Sankalpa, what a great Sankalpa of Pujya Gurudev sitting on the banks of the river Ganga. I told you about this, remember that day when we talked. When he sat on the banks of Ganga, he says, may this knowledge go to everyone. That one Sankalpa, what a strength of that Sankalpa, that now it's become this great movement. Are you getting the point? So we play, O Bhagwan, O Shivasya Manaha, Sankalpa Mastu Bhagwan, you have a good thought for me. You understand? You bless me. Tanme Manaha Shiva Sankalpam. Shiva, you do Sankalpa. For my mind. For me. It's a good idea, na? So this is a prayer also. Prayer to our mind, prayer to God. Saying, please give me auspicious thoughts. Because I am what my mind is. Auspicious thoughts, I'm an auspicious person. Inauspicious thoughts, I am inauspicious. So, me manaha shiva sankalpa mastu. You like this phrase? It's a beautiful phrase. Will you remember this? Every day in the morning, as soon as you get up, what should you say? Tan me manaha shiva sankalpa mastu. So, may my day go very beautifully with these auspicious thoughts. Okay? Right. Now, we'll see what this... Please take a, you know, read the, this is very beautiful commentary that has been there. Please read it. Now, I'll just, with the first shloka, we'll see a little bit of it. Yajjagrato Duramu daiti daivam Tadu suptasya Tathaivaiti Durangamam Jyotisham Jyotihi Ekam Tanme Manah Shiva Sankalpamastu. Actually, this is how it goes. You know, when you all Vedic mantras have swaras. Swaras are those intonations, and then it's chanted with those intonations. Then this is how it goes. So just listen to this. Yajagrato duramu daiti daivam tadusuptasya tathaivaiti durangamam jyotisham jyotirekam tanme manah shiva sankalpamastu. This is the with the intonations. Now, as I said, the last part of it is what? Tanme manaha shiva sankalpam astu. What is said? Yet, that mind is what? Jagrataha. For the waking person, duram udaiti. Udaiti, when it wakes up, duram. What does happen? It goes far away. And then what happens? It roams all around, all throughout its waking. And then tadu, that, suptasya, for the sleeping man. What happened? Tatha eva eti. It comes back right there. See, some people are even sleeping now. Tatha eva eti. It's so interesting, you know, how the mind works. The minute you're awake, what happens? Where does the mind go? And I tell you, the mind normally is a few kilometers away from the body. somewhere your runs, you're there, and with what speed it goes. Oh my god, you get up in the morning, the alarm goes, and you go to the office, and the mind goes, I have to do this, that, hundreds of things. It goes duramudaiti. It keeps going far, 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 runs here, there, everywhere. Which direction it will go, you never can say where it will go. Can you ever say, okay, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, this is the thought that will come to my mind? Can you say? For sure? You will never know where your thought will go. Where your mind will go. Okay, it's gone. Then what happens? You know, there's a beautiful, in the Chandogya Upanishad, it's very nicely said, Manam disham disham patitva, anyatra ayatanam alaptva, atmanevam upashrayate. The mind is like that. Disham disham patitva. It goes in different, different directions, here, there, everywhere. And then finally, not getting any place of rest, it comes back to yourself. See, a person who's got a job, you know, traveling. So he goes here, every day, 2 days here, 5 days here, 10 days here, 15 days here, this travel, 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 travel. Finally, when he comes back home, how does he feel? What does he feel? Even if his home, he may be traveling in 5-star hotels and he may be going everywhere, but when he comes back to his home, and if it's a South Indian puts up his lungi, then he feels, ha. Is it true or not? Ghar aa gaya. Here I can be what I want to be. He feels what? Payo parama vishrama. Tulsidas ji says what? Payo parama vishrama. I have attained supreme rest. Where? At the feet of God. He says at the feet of, because that's where he is. For us, what happens? We go whole day and then finally, however much we are interested at a point of time, you know, we may all our loved ones and the most interesting things, we drop it all and is it true or not? Supposing you don't get that sleep for 10 nights, you will go mad, yes or no? Every day, even one night you don't get, next day, I didn't sleep the whole night. Isn't it true? One night is not that. Once it happened, you know, my lecture was over and one person came to me and said, Swamiji, bahut achha laga, bahut achha laga. I really liked it very much. I said, oh, really? He said, achhi neend aa gayi. I slept very well, Swamiji. I said, I didn't know how to react, you know, to that. But then he says, you know, Swamiji, 10 din se, you know, it, the Gujarat earthquake had happened. After about 10 days, I was in Vadodara having a lecture. And it had shaken up everyone in Gujarat. The aftershocks and all that was like so bad. Everyone's mind was so, you know, full of fears because the aftershocks itself are quite bad. So people are just waiting. They had everything, you know, the instructions were given that the minute you feel that, you know, there's a, this, immediately they used to have emergency kits near the door. And the minute the shaking starts, they would take that kit and run out of the house. So that sleep itself used to be very disturbed and all. So he says, and those images, you know, normally they start immediately, the TVs and all start showing all those images of dead bodies and this and that and all the disaster. You see how TVs are. So this, everyone was so scared and all of that, of all these things. So he said, I hadn't slept for 10 days. And then my lecture came, so many of them said, you feel what? Some peace inside. He said, I slept for the first time in 10 days. I said, please come every day and sleep. Because if that's the only place he's getting sleep and that's the only thing he needs, at that time he doesn't need any spiritual knowledge. What he needs is only, what? Sleep. Tatha evaiti. And comes back right there. After the mind goes everywhere, where does it come back? Tatha evaiti. In that same place. And what is the nature of this mind? Durangamam. It goes far and wide. Jyotishyam jyotihi. It is the light of all lights. That light of all lights, that mind. Now what do you mean by light of light? Durangamam, you understand, it goes far. How far does the mind go? How far is far is what? It can go to the distant stars. Isn't it true? Light years away. It can think so far, so far. It could go into the future thousands of years later. It could go into the past millions of years later. Isn't it true? That's how the mind works. It can go anywhere. It has that freedom. You can, many times people say, you know, I will enslave, you know, a person. You can only enslave his body. You really can't enslave his mind. And that is why at no time in the history of mankind, slavery has been forever. People have always become free. Is it true or not? The body you can put, but where will you put the mind? You brainwash the mind, you may control the mind, you can... There are places where they had done that, you know, indoctrination, all that used to happen. But the mind is a free thing. It can break off every possible limitations that it's put in. Yes or no? So, Durangamam. Now, what is this Jyotishyam Jyotihi? It's the last concept we'll see today. Okay. The eyes are seeing forms. What do the eyes see? Color and forms. Yes. What does the nose experience? Smells. What does the tongue experience? Different type of taste. What does the skin experience? Different type of sensations. Right. What do the ears experience? Different type of sounds. Isn't it true? How many types of sounds? My God. Ooh, variety. How many types of smells? Ooh. Taste, Are Rama, you should just go to a typical, how many Thai taste and what?
Mexican.
Are Rama, that also in Indian cuisine only, Are. Telugu food and this food and that food and in that also, Tamil food, in that Tamil food also Chettinad food and, yes or no? Are Rama, it's like a huge, there's no limit to it. Okay, tongue, so many tastes. No. Now, think, the tongue has all the tastes, this, but the mind behind the senses, it is the one that experiences all the tastes of the tongue, all the sights of the eyes, all the smells of the nose, of all the sensations. Is it true or not? Right now, what is your experience? Very interesting. Are you seeing me?
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Are you feeling cold?
No.
No. Are you feeling comfortable?
Yes.
Are you smelling something? No. Nothing. Are you smelling nothing? Yes. Nothing. All that is happening, the five senses are all taking in all their sensations. And those, so they are the lights which are taking from these things. And one who knows all those five is the mind. Is it true or not? So that is Jyotishyam Jyotihi. It is the light of lights. Have you got it? No. That mind which is behind all the senses. The senses are, so to speak, illumining all these objects. And the mind sitting behind the senses is illumining all these senses. Have you got it? Oh, mind. Shiva Sankalpa means may I see the good things, auspicious things, so that now auspicious. May I smell auspicious things, may I hear auspicious. This is exactly what is there in the prayer. Bhadran Karne Vishrunayama Devaha. Have you heard this one? Bhadram Pashet Makshabirya Chatraha. Oh, Bhagavan. May I see auspicious. May I hear. And these two are the most difficult problem. Is these two. Others are not that much problem. This one and this one. So the same prayer is there. Oh Jyotisham Jyotihi. Oh mind. May good things come into you through the eyes. May good things come into you through the ears. Through all your senses. And then the mind also becomes auspicious. Have you got this? बढ़िया है ना नए श्लोक यज्जाग्रतो दूरमुदैति दैवं तदुसुप्तस्य तथैवैति दूरंगमं ज्योतिष्यां ज्योतिः तन्मे मनः शिवसंकल्पमस्तु नाउ टुमारो वी विल सी द अदर्स नाइस मंत्रस आर देयर वी विल सी मोर ऑफ देम इफ यू कैन टेक द बुक एंड रीड द कमेंट्री इफ यू हैव टाइम इट विल बी बेटर. Yes, you can do a little homework. That is why we say, no, sahaviryam karavavahe. What should we do? We should put forth efforts together. Otherwise, I will keep doing efforts and you will keep sleeping then. That's not fair. Okay, we can do it together. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. ओम शांति 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 हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि